Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, June the 24th, what could be the hottest day of the year so far. And we're going to start with the weather because a red warning for extreme heat has now come into force in part of the county. This is only the second time the most severe alert has ever been issued. Areas including Seven Oaks and Tunbridge Wells are covered, with the rest of the county under an amber warning. Some schools in Kent have decided to stay closed today, while others are shutting early as temperatures could reach around 35 degrees. Let's hear first from Dr. Ellen Schwartz, who is the Deputy Director of Public Health at Kent County Council.
And from my point of view, as a doctor, it is really important that we are prepared on different levels. So first of all, for us individually, for our homes, when we travel, and to look out for our families, so young children, elderly, people with underlying health conditions who are just more at risk of developing problems due to this extreme heat. So for us personally, so I've just put this on, wear something light, loosely fitting, don't go in your kind of tight fitting or, you know, whatever it is. So adjust to the heat. You go outside, so first of all, do avoid the hours between 11 and 3 when the sun is most extreme. Wear a hat, use sunscreen, and take a bottle of water. Stay in the shade if you can, and minimize unnecessarily going outside. It is really about planning ahead. So again, at this individual level, if you're planning to go from A to B by public transport or by car, make sure that the bottle of water is there and the sun protection too, because you might be ending up in a traffic jam. So it's really important to anticipate delays. Be prepared that you're not suffering heat exhaustion in that situation. In terms of the home, and that is something that we in the UK have to, I think, change our mindset a little bit. So when it's hot, we're not opening the windows to let the more heat in, but we're closing them if they're south-facing or facing the sun, using curtains to close the kind of the rays off, keep them outside. And then in the early morning, in the evening, we just let the air in and really kind of refresh everything. So that's a just simple change of how we operate. Also have water available. Water is the best. You can use, yes, you can use any fluid, but water is the best. And then look after those around you. So if you know there is an elderly person, a neighbor, a person with Alzheimer's, or, you know, very young children, try to kind of support them. Does the elderly person need medicine? They don't need to go out in this weather. Or adjust accordingly early morning or later, or do it for them. So it's all about this planning to avoid exposing the body to this extreme heat. And finally, also watch out for if there is somebody who suffers heat exhaustion. So it's all of a sudden tired, a bit confused, sweating profusely, get them out of the sun, give them water. If it's heat stroke, that's a medical emergency. When all of a sudden the body is no longer sweating but becomes really hot, a person may lose consciousness. You need to dial 111, of course, get them out of the sun. But this is now necessary, I'm afraid, that we're talking about these slightly extreme end issues, particularly in kind of these events when it becomes red, the warning level becomes red.
You mentioned there about children. Obviously, they're still in school at the moment. Do schools need to adapt, because that 11 till 3 period is when children would be at school, ordinarily going out for breaks and lunchtime? What do schools need to do to adapt in these circumstances?
So schools do have their hot weather plans and they are adapting, but it's worth reminding. I mean, we can learn from countries who've been dealing with this for a long time. Australia comes to mind immediately. So protect people's heads, use sun protection, create spaces that are shaded, or if it's really extreme, keep them indoors. And kind of the recurring theme is provide water, provide drinks, keep hydrated.
Do we need to get more used to this, do you think, Ellen? Is this something that is going to happen more regularly?
So what we see now, and if you look at this year from January, we've seen 41 days, was it, continuous rain, unusually cold weather, unusually hot weather. So what we're seeing is a pattern of more extreme weather events, and we just need to be more clued up. And I think the theme that I want to kind of get across is this element of planning. We can adapt, we know what to do, listen out, do look at the weather forecast, and use those basic key messaging, and the basic key advice, as I said, in terms of heat, is really protect, avoid, adapt.
Meantime, dispersal orders have been put in place across Thanet to try and stop antisocial behaviour on the coast. Police have been given extra powers to break up groups of people in Ramsgate, Margate, Westgate and Broadstairs. It follows trouble when hundreds of young people gathered during last month's heatwave. Chief Inspector Ian Swallow is Thanet's district commander.
We do get an increase of antisocial behaviour during the summer months in Thanet. That is largely because we get a huge influx of visitors that come to the district, so Margate, Ramsgate and Broadstairs. Most people that visit our beautiful seaside towns behave themselves and there's never any issues, but occasionally we get individuals who come intent on causing antisocial behaviour and making the community a little less nice place to be. So as Kent Police, we target those individuals quite proactively to make sure that we're taking action and making it nice for everyone else. I think our relationship with the broad section of our community is excellent. You know, we work really, really hard with our local communities to foster trust with our individuals. We use our beat officers, we use public engagement events, we use online My Community Voice to talk to our members of the public. We engage proactively with our businesses as well to make sure that the trust that they have in us is there, that we will act on any incidents that do occur. Maintaining that trust is key for us. It is quite clear that when bad things happen and incidents do occur, that that can rock that trust. When a business has shoplifting or someone is assaulted, or you see some of the incidents, for example, on Broadstairs Beach, where young people were congregating and causing issues for other members of the community, that can, of course, have an impact on the trust and confidence in policing and on our partners that we're doing the right thing and we're actually making it better for them. But that's why it's really, really important that we, as Kent Police, continue to communicate and continue to demonstrate that we will take action when things happen.
We're also being urged to only travel by train in Kent if it's essential. Operators South Eastern and Thameslink say services are likely to be running slower than normal as the high temperatures affect the tracks. Elsewhere, some residents near Ashford have been left without water. A burst main is impacting homes in Biddenden, Headcorn, Smarden and Pluckley. South East Water has apologised on what could be the hottest day of the year and say they're working to fix the problem as quickly as they can. And if you're hoping to cool off with a swim today, you won't be able to visit a leisure centre in Sittingbourne. The Swallows site has been forced to close because of a burst pipe. Bosses have apologised and say repair work is continuing. Well, you can let us know how you are trying to keep cool today by commenting on our story at Kent Online. We'll also keep you updated throughout the day, and you can hear regular bulletins over on our sister radio station, KMFM.
Kent Online News.
Concerns have been raised about crime rates increasing in Thanet, while the rest of Kent sees a drop. Figures show violence, drug offences and antisocial behaviour all went up in the year to last September. Police say most of the issues are focused on certain hotspots and they're working with the Home Office to get more support, especially during the summer months. The family of a Faversham woman who died after being crushed by her own car say her death could have been prevented. Alicia Skinner was unloading belongings from the vehicle outside uni accommodation in High Wycombe when it happened during icy conditions in January. An inquest into the 21-year-old's death was told the driveway hadn't been gritted and didn't have a safety barrier. The coroner's issued a prevention of future deaths report. A cat has died after being rescued from a fire at a bungalow in Ashford. The blaze blaze broke out in a kitchen on Bentley Road in Willesbury yesterday evening. Four fire engines were sent to tackle the flames and offer support to residents. Meantime, four fire engines have also been sent to tackle two garage fires near Maidstone. The flames spread to nearby sheds, fencing and an area of decking in Grove Green yesterday evening. There were no injuries and the cause is not yet known. Now, students from every secondary school in Gravesham are getting together today for a youth summit. They'll be discussing topics including the upcoming social media ban and concerns about young people who are not in work, education or training. Evidence will be handed over to the government as part of a national review. Jackie Cooper is one of the organisers.
Our work is to find the voice of young people, listen to the voice of young people and support them. And this all came about by us talking to groups who felt that they weren't being heard. So we're working with Gravesend Grammar School. We spent a day with them and they identified four areas that they felt that young people are really interested in, or four areas that they're worried about or concerned about. And these are the world of work, and are they prepared for it? And do the schools support them in getting prepared? Is there enough support out there? Social media, very interesting now with the under 16s ban. Youth work and youth spaces, the need for young people to have their own zone, a place where qualified youth workers are able to be there to support them and guide them through all those other issues, and spaces where they can grow and learn and make new friends. But the overarching topic was always mental health and well-being, and how that, and how all those issues that they've already identified, how their mental health and well-being is affected by them. And that is what they're going to discuss.
So how is the day going to work? How's it going to run?
So the day is going to be full up with workshops where the young people from Gravesend Grammar School are running these groups. They are going to be running and doing and talking to all the other students about what they feel about these particular subjects. So we will have lots of movement where young people will go around, get involved in the conversation, and then at the end they will all come up with agreed outcomes or tasks from this. So this isn't going to be tokenistic. You know, we want them to know that we have heard them, that we are listening to them. So from that, they will identify issues and tasks that they want to take forward, whether that is they want to write a letter to a minister, whether that is that they want to have their voice heard, that they agree with something or they don't, or whether they want to say, hey, we want a youth space that looks like this and we're going to design it.
And how important is it, Jackie, that young people's voices are heard? Because obviously they're the generation coming through who are going to be leaders in the future. How important is it now that they know that if they do voice concerns and they do raise issues, that they actually do get dealt with?
It's so important that we listen to them, and they're so clever, and they are so aware of what is going on. And that is one of the things where myself and my colleague Caroline, when we went round all the schools initially, that was the one thing that young people kept saying, we're not being listened to, because they know that they have a voice. They know that they've got ideas and they really want to be heard. And it's so important. And as you've just said, this is the next generation. They need that opportunity to speak up, speak out, because they learn as well. And so listening and talking to one another and then having those opportunities to present your ideas is so refreshing for them, and makes them believe that they can make a change, whether it's in their own personal life or whether they're at work or for the bigger picture, for the town they live in, for their school community, or even nationally.
Thanks ever so much to Jackie for chatting to us. A former Napoleonic barracks building in Hythe that was previously used as social housing has sold at auction for more than £800,000. Tenants were encouraged to move out of the Grade 2 listed Hay House on Sir John Moore Avenue as it had become run down. Bosses say repairs would have cost £1.2 million and residents were all found alternative homes. Money made from the sale will help fund new council properties communities in the area. The White Cliffs of Dover are going to be lit up with images of veterans and armed forces personnel later. A film will be projected onto the landmark tonight to mark the 10th anniversary of the Veterans Foundation. It's aiming to celebrate those who've served and raise awareness of some of the challenges they face. It all comes ahead of Armed Forces Day on Saturday. Rochester Castle is going to be reopening today earlier than planned. The historic attraction was forced to close on June the 14th after one of the stone steps leading to the top of the 900-year-old building broke away. Council bosses say it's now been successfully rebuilt.
Kent Online reports.
We're moving to a village near Ashford next, where residents say they're gutted after plans to convert their only pub into housing were given the go-ahead. The Swan Inn in Wittersham has been closed for 2 years after the previous landlord struggled with high energy costs. It's going to be turned into a three-bedroom property. 2 years after it closed, almost £400,000 has been given to help support the reopening of a sports centre in Kent. The facility in Folkestone shut in July 2024 after the previous group running it went into administration. It's been taken over by the Sports Trust, who've secured national lottery funding. They've described it as a major milestone. Next, and a former bowling alley in Kent that's been empty since COVID has been transformed into a pool and dance club. Neptune Sports Lounge has opened on the former Tommy Holland's amusement site at Beachfields in Sheerness. The owner has spent £60,000 on a complete refurb. His name is Charlie Minter, and he's been speaking to our reporter, Joe Crosley.
From start to finish, we've had to rip out everything. The only thing that's really existing is some of the old walls, the internal walls, but we've built an internal wall ourselves. We've completely redone all of the plumbing, the electrics, built a huge bar down the end there, which can accommodate quite a few people. Got a large darts area with 5 dart boards and soon to be 2 Omni auto scoring systems. We've currently got, 9 TVs. We have gone from having 5 pool tables, 1 snooker table and 2 dart boards. We now have 2 snooker tables, 12 pool tables and 5 dart boards. Each of these can all be used independently of each other as well.
Awesome. So can you just tell me about how hard it has been to get this project, done, yeah. I guess. I know it's still in the works, but...
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll be in the works for quite some time. Another 6 months to a year, I think we'll still be doing making improvements. It's been a bit of a struggle because obviously I had a lot of friends help me do this project as well. It's just been one mad rush. We got this done basically in 2 months, and with no like full professionals doing all of the work. It was all amateur workmen. I think we've done all right.
You must be really happy. I mean, it looks fantastic, Charlie. You must be really happy to have the new space and to have it look as good as it does.
Yeah, it's pretty much double the size of our old club. And with it, I've had one of the funnier things that I've had said, it feels more inviting now to women. which has, like, down the old club, it was more smaller, it was a bit more dingy, a bit darker. And I've had a few women in now that are just like, yeah, it feels really nice, feels airy, like, nice place to come. And obviously, families, that's where I was targeting anyway.
And you can see pictures by heading to the story today at Kent Online. And every delivery driver who was forced to quit her round in Shawn after her car broke down is set to get back behind the wheel after thousands of pounds was raised by customers. Anne West had delivered parcels near Gravesend for the past 6 years and worked for the company for 2 decades. A fundraiser reached more than £3,000, which was enough to buy a new vehicle. And a brown bear living at an animal park near Canterbury has had to have a dental procedure to remove a damaged tooth. Fluff was put under anaesthetic by a specialist team at the Wildwood Trust. Staff say he's recovering well and has been reunited with his brother Scruff and friend Bocky.
Kent Online Sports.
A group of parents have launched a new gymnastics club 2 weeks after the sudden closure of one that had been running for 50 years. East Kent Gymnastics will operate from Canterbury Academy until they find a permanent home. It's after Canterbury Gymnastics Club announced earlier this month it would be shutting, leaving hundreds of people without anywhere to train. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.